Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
I love that song, Build My Life, because it reminds me that life is a process and that it's block by block, season by season, as we draw near to the Lord. You know, and he's building something within us sometimes that we're unaware of. And it's just a beautiful reminder to build our life, but also he's building something within us. We put some effort in, but he's putting in effort as well. more than we could do, right? But it's a process. I'm excited to teach today. Very excited, actually. this is something, sorry, I've had... Like Jeff, he said he has cobwebs in his throat. I feel the same way. I don't know what it is. But we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Something that's been on my heart and just, it's kind of a constant area of my life that I'm always reflecting and thinking about. We're all uniquely made. We have been all uniquely shaped by God. We have been all uniquely put here on earth for a reason. And there are general callings that we all have as believers, you know, to be a part of a church, to pray together, to fellowship, to worship God. There's general callings. And then there's specific callings that are on each of our lives that are specific and unique to us individually as well. God created each and every one of us for general calling and specific calling. And so I just want to encourage all of us today and challenge all of us today in thinking more uniquely about where is God calling me specifically in life. And in the season that you're currently in, moving forward. And, you know, because I think all of our history, where we've come from in life has obviously led us to where we are now and who we are now. And our life moving forward, we can feel like we're in the later years of our life, in the early years of our life, but in no years of your life are you useless in the hands of God. And you are never in a season of life where you are ineffective in the hands of God. If you submit yourself wholly to God, no matter where you are, you will be effective and you will be active, right? There's no retirement in the kingdom of God, right? So there's always work to be done, amen? And I was thinking of just the Israelites as they were following the pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day. They were in constant submission of needing to look at something else other than themselves to know where to go and what to do. They were at constant submission. If they lost sight of the cloud, then they were lost, right? If they lost sight of the pillar of fire, which I don't even know how you could do that, but if they had, they wouldn't know where to go. They'd have to backtrack. They'd have to then, they'd have to backtrack. And so our lives, there is not a season where there isn't a pillar of fire or a cloud that God is not presenting to us in some other form that he's not wanting us to follow. So that's kind of my heart and where this message will be going. So let's just jump right in. I think the most dangerous place we can be in life is outside of the call of God, even if it means losing your job or your home or your closest friends or money and possibly family, but obviously not your spouse or children. They should come along for the ride. Now, that sounds kind of provocative, but it's biblical. And if you look at anyone in the Bible that has followed after the things of God, if anything or anyone stood in the way of obeying the Lord, they had to let it go. If you aren't obedient to God, you aren't following him. It's impossible. Like we were talking about the pillar of fire. If we're not following after that, we're not following after anything. You can't follow who you aren't listening to. How would you know where to go or what you're supposed to do? And needless to say, God's call is too important to be distracted by anything or anyone else. If you don't know what your calling is, then you are living, unfortunately, short of God's designed purpose for your life. You will be frustrated, ineffective, complacent, live by impulse, and will continually be guessing your way through jobs, relationships, habits, and every aspect of life. Like a gift or a card written from a close friend or loved one, it will be specific, special, and unique for you. It wouldn't be a gift or a message that anybody else could have. God wouldn't call Jim to something and they'd be like, well, I guess anybody could do that. Whatever, Jim. You can disobey me. No, he's created something specifically for you in your life. In the book, there's a book my wife's been reading called Garden City by one of my favorite authors, John Mark Kober. And it's all about work and purpose. And because sometimes we can talk about purpose and think like, well, okay, I need to give up everything to just work at church. And that's not necessarily the truth. Like, only do that if God specifically is telling you to do that. But obviously, we're called to work. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, the first thing that they were given was stewardship and work to do. Right? So there's work to be done. We are called to work. So John Mark Comer, he tells of a story in this, in his book. He says, it's a story about his neighborhood friend, his current neighborhood friend, one of his good friends. He's a top designer for Adidas shoes. He said most Adidas shoes that people are wearing, this guy Robbie either designed himself or was a part of designing. He has even designed shoes for kings in other countries, which is mind-boggling. And a lot of pressure, but it looked good. But when Robbie was in fifth grade, he received a report card back that said, less athletic shoe drawings might prove beneficial. So apparently he'd been writing on his homework or whatever else, or doodling during class. So he has this report card now framed over his desk as a reminder to stay the course. His gifting and future was far above the seemingly wise yet narrow-minded directive of his fifth grade teacher. So obviously, you guys have had kids. I haven't had kids yet. We just have a dog. But some of you have had kids, but some of you have taught to some capacity, and we can put expectations on people necessarily because it's a job that you have, but we can miss out on seeing the gift and the calling that certain people might have because you have a curriculum that you're trying to present or move them forward in. And obviously, it's hard in a teaching context. I don't want to bash this teacher because obviously the likelihood of this kid becoming the top designer is slim. So it's seemingly wise, but she obviously doesn't have the eternal mindset. She doesn't know what God might be calling this kid to in his future. So just know that, like, God has given us certain passions, certain creativity, certain experiences, abilities to influence people, and he wants to use all of that in particular areas of your life. He doesn't want it to be muted. So let's jump into the passage now. 1 Corinthians 7:17. It says, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. This is Paul talking to the church of Corinth. And obviously the context, if you read the verses before this and after, the context of this passage is within, is talking about relationships and marriages and whether you're single or divorced or married. And the concept of the call of God, you know, obviously fits within the paradigm of relationships, but it fits within every area of our life, obviously, not just if you're married or if you're single. It's for both. So a calling isn't conjured up by a board of people or even yourself. Our calling comes from God, not from man or the ways of man, the wisdom of the age. Our calling is not just a good idea or a seemingly great and feasible plan. Our calling is God's perfect will that is designed and declared specifically for you individually. Our calling is a gift that was beautifully crafted and given to us by a God that knows us better than anybody else. And we are all in different stages in life, obviously. Literally, no one has experienced or gone through exactly what you've gone through. No one has the exact same character, gifts, or influence that you each have. The passage says, as the Lord has called, so let him walk, which sounds overly simple, but it's actually supposed to be that simple. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus, Luke 9:23. It's only difficult when we love other things or ourselves more than we love Jesus. Who can relate to that? I definitely can. Because of this simple yet heavily implicated command, when we are submitted to the call of God in our life, we can be useful and effective in every season, task or mission He is calling us to. All of it, no matter what, no matter where you are. You can and need to live for God as you are right now. There's no better version of yourself that God's waiting for in order for you to worship Him or obey Him or listen to Him, right? He's expecting you to respond right now to the calling that's on your life right now. And obviously every calling is going to look different. It's not always a destination like a promised land. Sometimes it's just you're calling for today, right? Calling for today is to go to your job and work excellently unto the Lord, provide for your household, right? Love your spouse, love your children. Those are daily callings that we can have. Who disobeys those sometimes, right? We all can. We can all disobey the Lord and mute the Lord and reject kind of that idea of God calling us every single day and just think, well, He gave me this job, so, and I know that it was Him. All glory to the Lord for giving me this job. And then we just go, we silence the Lord after that because He gave us what we wanted. How harmful is that? He wants us to be, after He gives us that, to be thankful and then come before Him. What next, God? What next, God? What next, God? And following after Him. So, as you are right now, there's nothing to wait for. There's a call and gift that you have that is useful right now. Yes, we go through pruning and sharpening in our lives, right? We go through circumstances that can be unfortunate, but it all shapes us into better servants of Jesus. But as long as the Lord has called you and you obey the call, you need to be active and you will be effective. Like Moses, when he was called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he felt unequipped. But God equipped him once he obeyed. He didn't equip him before the obedience. He equipped him after the obedience. Over and over again, that happened in Moses' life. Jumping to verses 18 and 19. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is also nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. So post-cross and resurrection, circumcision became purely a cultural ritual. There became no spiritual difference between someone who was or was not circumcised. And in our current Christian culture, CCC, we don't have many rituals other than maybe baptism and coming to church on Sundays to signify that maybe you have a relationship with God. But even those two things don't prove your salvation or even prove that you hear from God. They're just rituals, things that we do, they're symbolic. They represent something deeper. Obviously, it's a good thing to practice those things, but they aren't the direct sign that you are hearing from God all the time, right? I know that's hard to hear, but just because you're here in this room doesn't mean you're hearing from God. I'm sorry. But there's many times you can come. Who's ever come to church on Sunday, left, and been like, what did they teach on? That happens. Unfortunately, that does happen. So, but obviously, it doesn't mean don't come. Come. Like, put your best foot forward and pursue the Lord and in these ways. And obviously, baptism is heavily important as well. Baptisms are one of my favorite things we do as a whole in this church. I love it. But in our current culture, we don't have these rituals, these signs like circumcision was. I mean, that was like very important before the cross. That was like the way to know that you were a in relationship with God, that you were a son of God. So we don't have that anymore. And we also don't have a way of exactly knowing if people are following after God or not, like they could back then because of circumcision. But what we do, unfortunately, sometimes, like the Jews did to the uncircumcised Gentiles, will vilify or disqualify other Christians that maybe go to another church than you, read a different Bible translation than you, they're too charismatic, they're not charismatic enough, they believe in miracles or don't believe in miracles, they have different views on politics, right? What their stance is on like eschatology or end times. We can vilify people. How do we do that? We're seeing them just like the Jews did back in the day with the circumcised, the uncircumcised. We're like, well, obviously you're not in relationship with God because you aren't one of us, right? Everybody, you know, and we can think of so many more other examples in our own lives that we maybe struggle with, and we disqualify other people that are also believers, right? Just because they aren't doing the exact things or think the exact things that you do. We too often discredit church congregants or even pastors that we don't like or don't think, or because they think differently than we do. Most churches think they are doing it better than the one down the street, quote unquote. But being the best isn't the goal, right? Obedience is the goal. Following distinct models or systems isn't the goal. Following the call of God is the goal. Verse 20. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. It says remain. No excuses or loopholes. It says remain. Once God calls you, he doesn't uncall you. He may move you into a new season or to a different place, but he doesn't take away a calling and replace it with nothing. If we think of Jonah, obviously the epitome, you can run away. The call was still there. The responsibility of the mission was still there. Regardless of him being disobedient to it for a time, the call was still there. He wasn't uncalled. This is a command to remain in your calling and purpose, to endure and to persevere. It doesn't say remain until it gets difficult. Remain until you don't like the people around you. Or remain until you get embarrassed. Or when you have to sacrifice a little too much. When it becomes too hard, too frustrating, too confusing. It says remain in your calling. And how many of us do, I mean, I would love to see a raise of hands, because I know some people, I'm preaching, some of you, I'm preaching to the choir. Some of you feel like, man, I'm in love with where I am with God and where God has me. I feel like I'm totally where God has called me, and I am in pursuit of that pillar of fire, right? Every day. Do you feel like that is you? Anybody? Yeah? Denise? Awesome. Yeah? Suzette? Awesome. I think it's awesome to find ourselves in those seasons. It's not always like, oh man, I'm completely missing it all the time. Sometimes we go through seasons where we feel it's easier to obey God, and some seasons where it's more difficult to obey the Lord. But regardless of the difficulty, we still need to respond and come to him, right? And he's never without a plan. He's never without a plan. I was listening to a part of a message yesterday, and it just so happened to be on this. It was just a snippet, and the pastor was saying, God is never without a plan for our lives. And sometimes we can feel without a plan. We're just in a season of just continuous repetitiveness, right? It just feels like we're doing the same thing over and over, week to week, month to month, year to year, you know, and it's like a 20-year period of just like, I feel like the last great thing God did in my life was 37 years ago. You know, or 5 years ago, or last year even. And it's like, God can be involved and do great things in your life every day, every week. Amen. You know, sometimes it's just that we need to acknowledge the good things that he's doing already that we're just become numb to, right? So we are supposed to remain in the calling he has called us in. Verses 21 and 22, it says, were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. So you may not consider yourself a slave because you aren't, but many of us feel enslaved to the cares of this world and the responsibilities of life. Who can relate to that? Many of us consider ourselves in seasons where we can't fully serve God or do what he's told us to do or even know what he wants from us because of, you know, X, Y, and Z. Fill in the blank. But is that God telling you you're not ready, or is that your shame not telling you that you're ready? Is it busyness telling you you're not ready? Is it insecurities telling you you're not ready? Is it God talking? Is it God not talking, or are you not listening? We can't look at our lives as limited because we are stuck in a dead-end job, frustrating relationship or marriage, or difficult children, or we don't have enough money, or we have a car that keeps breaking down, etc., fill in the blank. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is green where it is planted in the submission of God. All of this to say, if you feel that your calling is limited or delayed, or you're waiting to obey God because of the burdens in front of you right now, then stop. Don't be concerned about it, like it says in the passage. Do not be concerned about it. If a slave can please God as a slave, he should not live his life thinking, I can't do anything for God now, but I sure could if I was a free man. We can feel like that many times. If I didn't have this, I'd be able to serve more. If I didn't have this person or this duty or this responsibility, I'd be able to follow God with my whole heart. Well, if I didn't have to wake up so early for work, I'd probably read my Bible more. Well, if I didn't have to go to bed so late, I'd probably pray more, right? Fill in the blank. There's never a season of that. When you go on vacation, are you doing that? You know, when you have nothing to do than just the schedule that you've created for yourself on vacation, are you waking up early and spending time with the Lord every single day? I guarantee you, unfortunately, you're probably not. You know, we all fall short. We can give all the freedom, but our sin still makes an excuse. We still make an excuse in our life to not spend time with the Lord, to not listen, to not obey. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. But obviously, there's grace in that. So this is just to encourage us, right? This doesn't sound very encouraging, but I'm trying to encourage us all to chase after the Lord, even in our downtime. So he can and should serve God as he's able to now. That's all of us right now, every day. Verse 23, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. This is true not only in regard to literal slavery, but spiritual as well. We are to never put ourselves under the inappropriate control or influence of others, right? Just in the previous chapter in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? The reason we are not our own is because Jesus purchased us on the cross. He purchased us on the cross. So if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, what right do you have in disobeying God? Or telling God to wait? Or telling yourself you're not ready? Or that you're unworthy? Or that you're unloved or ungifted? Or that you just said, God, not yet. Thank you, but not yet. I'm waiting. And you just procrastinate the will of God for your life. Your life is not your own. You were bought at a price by Jesus, not man. No man owns you. No one should be making the decision regarding your call other than God. You don't even have the right to make life decisions yourself without coming to the giver of life. There is a huge, huge contrast between being enslaved by man and being a bondservant of God. If you are banking on anybody else, or even yourself to make good decisions, then you have probably experienced a lot of frustration and struggle in life trying to please man. Understandably, because we are fallible, we are finite, we are broken, we are flawed without Jesus. But God is completely free of making mistakes. Does anybody remember the last time God made a mistake? I can't think of one time. I would bet money, I would bet my life that he won't make one in the future. So why do we trust man more than God? Why do we do that? Why do we pursue the influence, the wisdom of others, the ways of men more than we pursue our own relationship with God? If he has the answer, if he's without a plan, if we truly believe what the Word of God says, that it all comes from him, why aren't we coming to him more? Why are we going to other resources more than we are coming to the resource of God? So how audacious, ignorant, and arrogant we are when we think that we can effectively shape our life based on personal desires and not the calling of God. In verse 24, it says, brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. So we are to remain with God. When God calls us, he does not leave us. Like creation itself, he didn't create everything and then dip out and go to another universe. He stayed in this one. He stayed involved. He stayed present. He made it all beautifully and perfect and then stayed involved. And what can happen, though, unfortunately, is I know this from experience, is that we can be called somewhere or to something, like a task or a mission, and after a while get into a rhythm of knowing how to do that job or that relationship in a marriage, knowing like, okay, well, their love language is if I buy them flowers and, you know, make enough money that they'll be happy. And so the relationship is just banking on flowers and making money, right? And it's like you're losing that love, even though it's like God called you to that person, that friendship or that spouse, right? And you're fulfilling the task at the first few years. It's wonderful, and then it just becomes repetitive because you know how to like do the checkbox and make things feel right because you've got the checkbox done. Am I making sense?
Yes. Sure.
So we can do that with God too. Like He's called us to a certain place, a certain job, a certain position, certain mission, certain task, and a certain duty. Maybe it's just like He wants you to go to therapy. Or He wants you to go to counseling, or He wants you to spend more time in prayer every single morning, right? And then you can just like just recite written prayers written by somebody else, right? No, He wants your heart. He wants you to fully engage yourself, right? So we can lose it. We can get in a rhythm of just doing the task over and over and over again, that we stop doing it for God and forget that we need to be doing it with God. It says in that verse 24, in the state in which we were called. And I thought, I was like, what does that mean? In the state? In California? In that? Is that where I was called, so I gotta stay here? No. So have you ever had someone, this is funny, so just go with me on this. Have you ever had someone yell at you, you know, from another room or downstairs or outside? They call out your name, they're like, hey, Rich. And you're like, you're inside, so it's like, hey, Rich, or hey, Regina, or hey, Tim, you know? And you're like, wait, are they calling me? You know, and then you're like, you don't hear it again, and then a few minutes later, you hear it again. They yell your name or whatever else, and you can't really understand what they're saying. And how dumb would it be if the spouse or parent or friend or whoever's calling out to you, they just yell your name, and then they just start talking. And you're not even in the room. They have a full-on conversation, or more like a monologue, just kind of saying everything, maybe telling you about their whole entire day, and you're just in your room on your computer or whatever, watching TV, completely missing it, and they're talking, they just yelled out to you and then thought like, oh, you're listening and you're in the room with me. That's obviously very absurd, and that should never happen. Maybe it has happened, but that shouldn't happen to you. I hope it hasn't happened to you. Let's practice not doing that. Let's get people's attention. So because you wouldn't do that, no one should do that. And God doesn't do that with us. He's not shouting out your name and then spewing out stuff and you're not listening. And then He's expecting you to follow through with it and you didn't hear what He said. He wants to get your attention. He wants you to fixate on Him. So like if someone yells out your name and you're just like, huh? And then don't do anything about it. That's also on you for not pursuing it. This happens with Midia. I'll be in the other room. She's like, Bryson, blah, 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 like dinner's ready or whatever. And I'm just like, uh-huh. And then she has to like come into the room and be like, Bryson, I said this. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So it's like she has to get my attention because once I hear, then I want to obey. I want to follow. Obey, I know, yeah. I want to respond.
Help me.
I said made dinner. That's a good thing, right? I want to obey that. I'll obey that every time. So we think about Moses again. Before he encountered God at the burning bush, he was shepherding his sheep and noticed that a bush was on fire but not burning. We all know this story. Exodus 3. I'll just read it. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, then God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And then Moses responded, here I am. So he was busy doing his own thing, doing what he should have been doing. He's doing his job, shepherding his sheep. They're along a hillside. And all of a sudden he notices something that grabs his attention. And obviously that's a divine thing. God set that up. He saw this burning bush and then wanted to inspect it because it wasn't burning. So he may have been looking at it for a long time. Because obviously when you look at a a burning fire, you're not seeing instantaneous, just complete ashes, right? You have to see for a while. So he's probably watching this for a while and realizing, gosh, the branches aren't breaking off. There's no ashes coming out. It's just a continuous flame. And so he probably watched it for a while and then started to investigate it. And while he's investigating it, that's when God gets his attention and says, Moses, Moses, Suzette, Suzette, Marian, Marian, right? Like calling out and getting his attention. And then he responds, here I am. He got his attention. And then right after that is being given the mission to free Israel from Egypt. So God got his attention with a burning bush to pull Moses away from his routine of shepherding, from his routine of his job. And once God had his attention, he called out to Moses, drew him near. So God made the initiating act. God is always initiating relationship with us. We never initiate. He's always like this, reaching out. We're never like, hey, God. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you. And then reaching down and be like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. I forgot about you. You know, like he's fixated on us, right? He's looking at us. He's fixating on us. He wants relationship with us. It's just us that need to mute everything else and turn that on. So we know that God then gave Moses the plan after he listened. All of this to say that the state in which we are called is the same as Moses. Attentiveness on God. So he was doing his work and he noticed something. God was getting his attention and then he gave his attention fully to the Lord once he called out. So attentiveness on God, which is awe, worship, and submission to him. And then 2, choosing to step away from our routine of life to listen to our present and eternally speaking God. He's never without a plan. He's never without a comforting word of encouragement. He's never without a directive for us in our everyday life. We know that even the prophet Samuel responds later in the Bible to God's yelling from the other room and says, speak, for your servant hears. He says the same thing that Moses says, though. He says, here I am, and then speak, for your servant hears. So in closing, if Jeff wants to come back up, our European worship leader, no. So a challenge that I just want to give all of us moving forward, even within this week, but even just as a daily discipline or weekly discipline, or as the Lord kind of leads you, is I'm like, man, have I ever just done that? Like literally opened up a time of prayer with the Lord and just said, Lord, speak to me, and then not said anything, and just sat there. Moses did that. Moses got called out, here I am. Like, okay, like, what's this about? You know, am I in trouble? You know? And then same with Samuel. He just says, here I am, speak, for your servant is here. Like, and how important, are we servants of God in this room? Are we? Do we want to be? Do we want to be better servants of God? Who's leading you? Who's telling you what to do? Who's giving your kingdom duties for your week? Who's giving your kingdom duties in life? Because that's how we need to be living our lives. It doesn't mean quit your job. Only if God's saying to do that, but I'm not going to say that to you. But doing what God has told you to do, despite it being difficult, if you know that it's the Lord, follow after him. So a challenge that I want to give all of us is not asking God for a single thing, because he knows what we need. This week, come to the Lord like Moses and Samuel. Just tell him to speak and then wait to hear from him. Turn off the music. Stop reading your Bible. Obviously have that time, but have a time. Don't just think, well, the Bible's the only way that I can hear from God, right? Or worship music's the only way that I can hear from God. Or Pastor Steve is the only way that I can hear from God. Or Chuck Smith's the only way that I can hear from God. They're all good. God uses them, right? Amen. Hallelujah. He uses them. He uses all of that. But he wants to have direct relationship with you. A constant frustration that the Lord had was with the Israelites is what? They didn't want to go up to the mountain and see him. They wanted somebody else. They wanted Moses to do it. They wanted a leader, somebody else to do the work for them. And then just be like, okay, once you get that word from God, come back to us, let us know what he said. I don't want to be like that. None of us should want that. We do it. But none of us should want that. We should want direct access, direct conversation from the Lord. So I challenge us all this week, have that time with the Lord, but turn everything off at a certain point and turn on a listening heart, because He's speaking. He loves you. He has an intimate, specific, special word for you, a special calling in your life that He wants to equip you for. But sometimes you got to say yes before you're equipped. He's not waiting for you to equip yourself outside of Him. And then once you equip yourself, because obviously you are better at equipping yourself than He is, no. Obey God and He'll equip you for the task ahead. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for calling us. Thank You for having a purpose for all of our lives. And Lord, we get distracted. We really do. We get distracted. We get blindsided by circumstances that are extremely difficult. We feel the weight of the world on our shoulders at times that, Lord, You've called us to put on Your shoulders instead, to take on the yoke that's easy and the burden that's light. Lord, that's what You have for us. And You have not just a good plan for our lives. You don't just have a great plan for our lives. You have the best plan for our lives. You have the ultimate plan for our lives. And Lord, we want to submit to You right now, moving forward, Lord, that every single day we would ask in any decision that's needing to be made, Lord God, what do You have to say about it? I can go to so many different areas of and ask wise people and other Christians that have gone through similar experiences, but Lord, nothing compares to coming to You and asking You first and seeking the counsel of the Lord. Because Lord, You are so desiring to be in intimate relationship with us. So Lord, as You've called us right now, even to a time of worship, I pray that we would respond to You, that we would be listening to You, that as we sing out, declaring who You are, the beautiful name of Jesus, Lord, that You would respond to us, speak to us, because Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.